You are listening to the Uncommon Truth Podcast, produced by the Father's House Church in Oroville, California. I'm Luke, and we created this podcast because we want to explore Christianity the way that Jesus intended it to be. If you're interested in joining us on this journey, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, or for more resources, check out changeoroville.org. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Uncommon Truth Podcast. Steve and Vicky Orsillo are here.
We're already having a great time. I don't know. Yeah.
It's crazy. Vicky was actually right and Luke was actually wrong. I think we should call out the band. I think we should get some clowns and have a party.
It's time for you to walk across our pool.
Yep. Yeah, we celebrate a lot of things. We ought to make this an annual celebration. This is the day. Vicky was right.
Whatever the word is, challenge reading today. Literacy skills are challenged. But we are reading through the Uncommon Truth podcast. We're reading through In His Likeness, written by Steve over here.
That's me. Yeah.
Apparently, I don't know where I am right now. So
let me just take it away for a few minutes because you wanted
to talk about your t-shirts. That's so why don't you do that? Yeah.
You're struggling, dude. So I'm wearing a Lord's Gym Kids Mud Run t-shirt from last year. And we are just right now in the throes of putting on the Mud Run that is June 1st and 2nd.
We're gearing up to go after it.
We started, just a little data, we started in 2017 with the Kids Mud Run. We had 150 children running for free in the mud obstacle course. And this year, I think we're going to, Luke, you correct me if I'm wrong, you usually do over 3,000 kids.
We're projecting that. We have 1,850 signed up right now. We just put all the flyers on in the local schools.
That's without the flyers in
the schools.
Yeah,
so last year we had 2,900.
2,900. Yeah. So if we come to 3,100, that would be amazing because if you're in Northern California, this is an incredible event. We need people to volunteer and serve. If you want to advertise, we need that too. There'll be about 10,000 people there throughout the weekend. It's a Saturday and a Sunday after church, 2 o'clock. We go to church. And then we go right to the mud run. The Lord's Gym Mud Run .com. If you want to sign your kids up for heats. Also, we started last year is a special needs heat.
Correct.
Which was fabulous. People were crying. So if you have any kids that are
all ages.
All ages. There is no age limit. So they could be 45. Yes. I have a son with Down syndrome.
Only for that heat.
I have a son with Down syndrome, 41, but he ain't going. We're lucky if we get him out of the house that day. But honestly, we got to hold Special Olympics. Yeah. And if you know anybody with special needs, this is a fabulous time for them to feel really good about themselves. Yeah. And what are you wearing today?
I'm wearing School of Transformation.
What is that?
That's our school that his one version is full-time, six months.
Okay.
And with second levels and third levels that take you, fourth levels that take you out to 3 years if you want to, but six months is the real identity part.
That's a full
time. People come and graduate and go home,
right?
Or they stay and do the 3 years and qualify to be on our staff, and then if they stay there, then they're qualified for ordination.
Okay.
So it takes them right on into pastoring. And. And the other part of it is the Sunday morning school for church members.
Okay.
And that's church members all over the world. They can go.
Wow.
They can do it on Zoom. They can do it in person.
And we actually had a graduation on Sunday of School of Transformation. It's called Light, which is a part-time.
Module 4.
And we had over 22 graduates. Did you have your fingers up? Were you giving me?
Module 3.
Did I say that? Module 3, we had over 20 graduates on stage. It was fabulous. And those are people who they come to our church, are part of our church body, and they're not in full-time ministry at the church. They're in marketplace ministry.
And they go out and they serve.
They serve. It's fabulous.
In a phenomenal way. It lights them up. They want their love for Jesus to look like something before they're done, right?
Yeah, so if you are interested in School of Transformation full-time, 6 months, and moving to Oroville, or if you're interested in School of Transformation, Light, they both start in September and March. And you can go, what's the website that they could check it out, Luke?
TransformationSchool.org.
Say it again.
TransformationSchool.org.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For Light, we had people from all over the world, different countries zooming in. Whether you're local or on the other side of the world, we'd love to have you apply.
It's a fabulous, fabulous school of the heart.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Well,
did we save you now? Because you were really gone in the intro.
I think I put myself back together, maybe.
Not usually do
you
do that.
But let's dive into today's chapter. I know Vicky likes it when I say that. So
dive. Yep. You got to get different euphemism. Yeah.
But Steve, why don't you read some of this chapter?
So this is the book In His Likeness, chapter 13. And the title of the chapter is God's Love is Not Enough.
Oh, boy.
So you'll want to tune into this. Yeah, you'll want to listen because yeah.
People might have
you've already got your hackles raised and you're reaching for the escape
button.
Do not touch that dial.
Do not get an accident listening to this one.
Do not. Keep your hands
it's
off that dial.
It's called Fantastic Title.
Let me explain.
There you go. Lucy.
Yes, you got something explaining to do. All right. John defines God as love, and I am a witness of this truth.
You are.
He has revealed his love for me in that while I was yet a sinner, he died for me.
Amen.
While I was yet a sinner, I said a simple prayer, not 20 seconds long, and he came to me and forgave me. He loved me. I had not yet loved him. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Romans 5:8. Again, his love was there. I was not. My decisions, my choices, ruled in my life and the lives of those I stole from and lied to. Now, the same is true. He loves me just as he did before. Yet now I love him and have done so for 37 years. That's 49 now. The fruit has been awesome.
Yes.
My choice changes everything. God's love was always there, but it was not enough.
Oh, that's the title.
That's the title.
Say the title again.
God's love is not enough.
And the reason is?
Because I didn't return his love or receive
his love. That's great. Yes. I like that. Okay, go ahead.
God's love has been revealed to those who accept the offer to be forgiven through the blood of the sacrificed Lamb of God. That Lamb is Jesus. We who come to know God's love through Jesus experience a miraculous event called the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is where Jesus' promise, the Father and I will make our home in you, is fulfilled. This is where John the Baptist's statement, one is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, is made real. This baptism is like all experiences with God. It bears fruit that must be visible in our lives.
Wow, that's a lot.
We are baptized in the Holy Spirit to bear good fruit, the greatest of which is love. The one has come into the world, and he wants to come to every person in this world. He loves them and wants to bring them this gift of his indwelling presence. Yet many of those he loves will not receive him or his love.
Wow, that's good. That's
so interesting. Will you just expand a little bit on his love and when his love is not enough?
Well, it's like I said, you know, he always loved me. He always loved you. Mm-hmm. But one day I went forward and found out he was real.
That's right.
Started reading this book from the viewpoint of he's really here. He's looking at me. He sees me. He hears me. And as I read more and more what his plan was and realized, you know, his plan was to save me. But his plan was also to know me. Let me know him. Whoa. I mean, this crazy stuff. It's crazy. We get to know God. People always used to tease me. You hear voices? Yes.
Don't you?
This happened because of his love for me. But it mostly happened because I turned towards him and began to learn and find out that he loved me. Once I got a revelation that he loved me by seeking and reading and just talking to him and finally learning to hear his voice and feel his presence, I fell in love. I realized that, man, he didn't reject me. I would have rejected me. He wouldn't reject me. And wow, so many people reject me. Even people who say, I love you, turn around. They can say, I love you in the morning, and by noon, they can reject you. Yeah. You know, that high school girlfriend. I'm just kidding.
You had a high school girlfriend that said that she loved you?
How ridiculous. Anyway.
You said it. So I just newsed me after 45 years.
I was kidding.
Okay.
I was kidding.
You're jesting.
Yes. So.
Oh, gosh. Help us.
Yes, help us, Lord. Vicky's back. Anyway.
It's been a minute.
So you look at the world, and the world, there's so much crazy evidence of people rejecting God, going their own way, deciding for themselves exactly, you know what, that they can save themselves by their own mighty right hand. They don't need God. And they don't want God, and they don't believe in God. The fact remains that John says that God is love.
Yeah.
He is love, and everything he does is love. And when you read this book, the Bible, you find that he does some stuff that we as humans would never call love. But God says he is love. And if I'm going to believe that, then I have to understand that him and his love has always been there, and he has always been love to me. I have just not always received that love, nor have I ever returned that love. And had I died in my sins and never received his love, that it wouldn't have been enough to save me. His love couldn't save me until I accepted his plan. Yeah. And he says, loving me is obeying me. So therefore, returning his love is to figure out what he's saying. What is he saying? Not what other people are saying. What's he saying? And then doing it. You know, reading the words of the Bible, finding out, you know, taking the time to find out, is the Bible even worth listening to? It's just a fairy tale written by men. And going and finding that out until you're convinced it's something supernatural. And it really is. I mean, you'll have to find out for yourself. But if you never do these things and you never come to the Lord and commit your way to him, his love won't be enough.
Wow.
You'll die having been loved by God, but having never loved him in return.
That's right.
And many will perish. Not everybody that's ever lived is going to go to heaven.
Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord.
Yeah, that's what he says. He, you know, they come to him saying they do believe in him. They prophesied in his name, but they didn't obey him. And therefore, they didn't love him. And those who didn't love him, he said, I didn't even know you.
Wow.
I don't even know who you are. Yeah. In one, he says, they said, we prophesied in your name. We did this, we did that. He says, away from me, you who are cursed. Not love God is to be cursed.
Wow.
And he says, depart from me, you who are cursed. I never knew you. I don't even know who you are. You have not come to my love as I offered it. You came to my love on your standards. You came it on your conditions.
That's,
you know,
so hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's what makes God its love enough is when we care enough to find out, what does he say?
Come on.
Like, for instance, our goal in our schools of ministry and transformation. Who does God say that he is? Not who do you say he is. Not who does someone else say he is. Not who do you want him to be. Who does he say he is? And then if I can follow that road, who does that make me?
Yeah.
And that's what we want to search out every day of our life, all of our life. And we want to find out, how do we appropriate God's love and all the benefits that come from God's love?
Yeah.
They are remarkably amazing, incredibly big and good. And they aren't easy. Mm-hmm. Don't have anybody tell you they're easy, but they're not out of reach of man at all, by any means. And if man just says, well, God is love, so if God is love, how could he ever have a punishment? Well, that's what you decided love was. He created love, says he's love. You should find out what he means by that.
So he's the author.
He's the author of love. He's the creator of love.
Yeah.
For man so loved the world.
God,
you know, his love to
God
you
so
and me. What'd I say?
So man so loved the world.
Oh, wow. That's a faux pas.
That's like you're on Cersei.
That was a faux pas. For God so loved the world, he sent his son to die on a cross. For this is the love of the Father.
That's right.
He sent his son.
That's right.
This is how we know he loves us. He sent his son.
Amen.
And that's to pay for our wrongdoing. When he in the first place expected us to have no wrongdoing.
Wow.
But we insisted on having wrongdoing. So therefore he came to in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son, the offspring of God, the Word of God. He came to pay the penalty for the wrongdoing we chose to do. And I think that love, you know, I think I will allow even the people I love to suffer the consequences of their decisions, but I will also be there for the ones I love to help them recoup the time and the energy and the road,
right.
Get back the time and the energy and the space that they had because I love them. I'll help them get back to where they were. The things they lost.
If it was just, you know, the argument in church culture today is the idea that, right, because God is love, love wins. It doesn't matter
what you
know,
do,
what you do, where you've been, you what you believe. He loves us, and therefore we're all gonna go to heaven, right?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, I don't see how that idea and free will can coexist, because there then is no choice at that point if
that's really
you
good.
End up there, right? It's just, it's a done deal. And I think, you know, later in this chapter, I think on page 72, you start to talk about, page 72, you say, some believe that only those God chooses will be saved, and only those he chooses will be called to follow him. They don't believe in evangelism or revealing God to people so that they can choose to come to him. If you're not chosen, you don't get to have eternal life. It's all predestined from the foundation of the world. It seems to me they believe that saved and the unsaved are all pre-programmed to either believe or not believe. The believer receives eternal life, and the unbeliever just sleeps forever. In other words, death is the end. It's over. The evil or bad seed, the people who do the really big sins, go to hell. If you're chosen and your works are evil, then your works will be burn, but you yourself will be saved. There's nothing you can do about it. It's God's will. There's nothing you need to do. It is finished on the cross. If you believe this way, then you believe everything happens for a reason. That everything that happens is God's will. So that idea, right, is saying, I mean, right, it's predestination. It's also then why, you know, it takes my need to respond off the table. It takes my need to share my faith off the table. Right. It really just says, do whatever and it'll all work out, right?
It's the hierarchy of I'm chosen, you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just so different than Jesus saying that we need to love the least of these, our brethren.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't see a lot of them doing the benevolent ministries to the least of these, and those that hate them and spitefully use them, they don't. It's not really love them with acts of love.
Yeah.
It's love them with words of love. But the main point of this whole thing is the will of God.
Right.
So the love, God's love is not enough, and God's will is not enough. Because the Bible says, you know, at least how we read it, is that it's God's will that none should perish. Yeah. And that God loved the whole world and sent his son. And the coming of the Son of God to live on this earth and then die and be resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, that purpose was to save everybody, save the world, not just chosen ones, not just decided on ones, you know, picked, and the rest of you be damned. And so when you look at, honestly, these verses and you say it's God's will that none should perish.
Right.
None should be deceived. You have to look around and say, yeah, but they are. They are.
So he loves them.
So it's God's will that none perish, but some perish. And in the book, all of the places where it describes things like the lake of fire, the Gehenna, or any of those things, there's the place is full of people.
Yeah.
And it's people who are doing the things that the book says get thrown in there.
Right.
So let's recoup. It's God's will that none go there, but some go there.
Yeah.
So therefore, God's will isn't going to keep you from going there.
We have a choice to make.
God's love isn't going to save you.
It's not enough.
Neither one of them are enough. It has to become your will to follow him. I will grant you free grace. You just got to come with me.
However,
Jesus said, if anyone would come with me, they must first deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. Many people want to say there's nothing we got to do. Well, Jesus said you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Yeah. He said a whole lot more than that.
Right.
You know,
the biggest, I think the biggest revelation I've had in the last 15, 20 years is that when you read the if, when you read the buts, B-U-T, you know, I-Fs, the words of Jesus, and they say if, that's conditional. If you do this, my Father and I will make our home in you. If you do this, if you endure to the end, if it's like so 30, 20 years, 30 years, I didn't really see those ifs and buts. And it's like, it changes everything. God's love is not enough because you have free choice and there's a condition on you and me. And we need to read the words of Jesus and not dismiss any of them. Read them in context and don't get confused by the old covenant and new covenant, but stay in the new covenant and read the words of Jesus and the words of God Almighty and what he says. I mean, we had a sermon yesterday and it was like, you know, it was listen to Jesus. But as she said some of these conditional things, it's like, yeah, I don't think I'm there. I don't think I'm, you know, you take a test. I'm like, I don't think I'm where I need to be. Because I think the revelation for us is that it is conditional.
Yeah.
It really is up to you and I. And, you know, it's all the way through the new covenant. You just read it and go, oh my goodness. It's so there in black and white. The ifs. Mm.
Yeah. What is our response to the love that we've been shown?
What is our response need to be, or what is it actually?
Well, I mean, that's the question is what is your response?
My response is I met Jesus and it was like really nice to know that he was real. This believing on something you have no idea, believing on a wish and a star, you know, a wing and a prayer. And it's just like, I believe in God, but I don't really know anything, you know?
Yeah.
And then you meet Jesus, you come to a relationship with him and you have this presence in your life and you read books like Revelation or you read the Gospel of John. And by the end of it, man, you're just like, wow, you did this for me and you're this serious. Mm. You're this, you scrutinize, you're edgy and you are giving me grace. You're giving me forgiveness.
No. Why do you say he's edgy? Because he doesn't want to look at sin.
It's just very what we, you know, we don't think somebody who's tagging a building ought to be shot on sight. When you read the Bible, people are, Uzzah drops dead for touching an ark. You know, it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
He's serious.
Yeah.
You read Revelation, it's like, ooh. Yeah.
He's serious.
Whoa. He made a promise and he goes all the way.
If you don't forgive.
And then he makes these if you don't forgive things. It's like, so in all these stories I read, he was a sharp edge.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that if I don't forgive, he'll still forgive me. And he won't use such a sharp edge.
With you.
Right. Well, you're just hoping. Everybody's hoping, right? And you just got to, dang.
He just got a phone call.
From my son, Mark. Yeah. He's at home. Anyway.
Bless him, Lord.
It's just a sharp edge, and it's like you're hoping he's not that. Yeah. And then you come to get to know him, and he comes to get to know you, and he forgives you. And if you make mistakes and stuff, yes, you need to know you made a mistake, and you need to not take it for granted. I'm telling you, after reading who he says he is, I would not take him for granted. I'd go to him and beg forgiveness. He says, if you confess your sins, you'll be forgiven.
Faithful and just.
And forgiven is kind of awesome because forgiven is described as forget by God. He's gonna cast it away.
From the east
to
the west.
He's going to remove it.
That's right.
It's not forbearance where he pushes it forward. We'll deal with that later, son. We'll
when your deal dad with that gets later.
yeah, just go ahead and keep sinning because we want to get it all out of your system so we can get the punishment to match it, right? No, he doesn't do that. He removes it. And it's just so the phrase I'm looking for here to finish this segment up is it's my response must be, and I'm telling you, it must be, and people don't seem to say this very often, you have to fall in love. Yeah. You have to look at God who is love and fall for love.
Mm.
You know, in pastoring, we see guys. Guy sees girl. Girl sees guy. Guy sunflowers. Girl sunflowers.
Bah, 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 boom.
They smile. It's like, oh, you know, there's a future going on here. No, it's like, this is like you see Jesus and you fall in love.
For the rest of your life.
You just fall in love and you begin to read about it and you say, man, he is kind of edgy. He kind of serious about this stuff. And yet he's given me, he's paid the way, he paid my tab. And he'll continue to pay my tab if my heart is right and I'm seeking to obey him and I'm confessing and trying to do right. He's going to stay with me and see me to the end. Yeah. This is just too much, man. I fall in love. I fell in love with Jesus in 1975. A little bit of a process. I really fell in love that night, but I went ahead and read Revelations overnight, and I read John over the next day, and just said, wow, this is unbelievable, this story. And it's for me. And now that I know you're real, now that I no longer just believe you're real, it's like, what all these ifs, like, you know, love you more than mother, father, brother, sister, you know, love you more than all my possessions, love you more, put my hands to the plow, never turn back.
Wow.
I remember reading that, never turn back, and that was in those two, and I just was like, oh, wow. I'm kind of a super afraid to backslide, because that one got in that night. It's 49 years ago. It got in, and I wouldn't backslide, and I've never backslid. I've never gone backwards. But then I fell in love. I've never cheated on my wife either, because I fell in love with her. And you would think I'm an idiot if I did.
Amen.
And you know, because I fell in love with her.
That's right.
I want no other.
That's right.
And I fell in love with Jesus, and I want no other. I want no other God. I want no other friend. I want no other belief system. I want his. I want to know what pleases him. I want to do what pleases him. I want to do what promotes him so others can have his love. And that's, I guess, my explanation.
You know, I had this revelation there. I don't know. I'm just going to bring it up because it's kind of cool. You know, the marriage vow says, you know, for sicker, for richer, for poorer, for sicker, for how's it go? Mm-hmm. Richer, for poorer, for
in sickness and in health.
Go ahead and say it.
Until death do us part.
Yeah, I think that's really, if we just lived our Christianity like that, that mm-hmm. you know, that's what, because you know, we were talking on Sunday about when Jesus recruited Peter and Andrew and James and John, Zebedee brothers, and it's like they had no idea what would happen when they dropped their nets. They had no idea the crazy ride they were going on. And I think as Christians, when we say yes to Jesus, we have no idea the crazy ride we're going on. But because we love Jesus, we just keep walking the next step and next step. And he's changing us and correcting us. And, you know, you keep going forward, you're going to get to the finish line. You go backwards, you're never going to get there. But it's just like I thought that, wow, that's kind of interesting that the marriage vow is a vow about how much we're going to love our spouse. But if you just put that towards Jesus, you know, for richer, for poorer, for in death, yeah. You know, till death do us part, which is really a great kind of illustration of our relationship with Jesus. And God's love is not enough, because he loved me before I said yes to him. And I was living crazy. And it really is conditional. And we have to love him back. And love looks like something. It's not a word that you just say. It's a deep, abiding, walking towards the light and never turning back. And reading the conditions. I think if you make a contract with Jesus, you probably should know what the conditions are. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think sometimes we do a disservice to people at the altar. And he's like, oh, just ask Jesus in your life and everything's going to be great. It's like, you might want to read the contract before you kind of sign up. Because it's going to get tough sledding sometimes. There could be deaths, and you could be broke, and he could ask you to live here, or you could be dishonored by people. You could be hated by people. I mean, what does he say? He was persecuted. You know, people hated him. They're going to hate you. I mean, there's some real contractual things that would have been nice to know.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that when I got saved. I just asked Jesus into my life, and I immediately knew, which I guess is his providence, that he was real.
Yeah.
And that he was a missing piece in my heart that I didn't even know I was looking for. Mm. So I just thought this kind of interesting. The vow you make to your spouse could be concurrent with the vow you should make with Jesus.
Yes, called the Bride of Christ.
That's right.
Right.
It's a marriage vow.
It's a marriage
vow. Did you know that?
Absolutely.
Okay, I thought me had taught you.
Yeah, you probably did teach me.
I probably did.
We've been together.
45 years ago.
Yeah, this has been 45 years. Probably, yeah, maybe you taught it to me 18 times and just forgot 17 of them.
So it's nice about getting old. Everything's new again.
Yeah, everything's new.
Everything's new again.
I was thinking, you know, being in ministry for a long time, and especially with Life Covering Ministries, our recovery program
yes.
that we run here, right? We meet a lot of people who God has loved them their whole life,
yes.
but they haven't loved themselves, or they haven't known God's love, or maybe they had parents that didn't love them. And we see again and again how just because God loved them and died for them, that didn't have an impact until they met him, right? So I think this journey then as a believer, I think you'll go into this in a moment, but like as Christians who believe, we then have a job to do of representing mm-hmm. his love two people.
That's really
too,
good.
Right?
The responsibility of that. Yeah.
So,
I think that what yeah. it what we're in is a several decade long transformation from love, mutual love.
What do you mean?
To into a one way love. I live on the love you have for me, not on the love I have for you.
Ooh.
And that's the whole movement that's to good. Make God loving me as what matters. It definitely does matter, but it's not the only thing that matters. You have to then love him. And what I see in relationship with the people you're talking about, it's a domino effect now of four, maybe five generations of not being loved by your parents. Of not, they don't love them. So they don't learn to love back. So then they go out in the world and they've got this dream of being a father, being a mother, having a, a relationship where love is supposed to rule. And they live their life expecting love from the other person towards them, but not giving it back. It's kind of weird. They're trying to make up for the fact their parents didn't love them by making the person love them, demanding service, like almost slavery service, and giving none in return. Yeah. And it's like generations of this one-sided love. Wow. And then the world system, enough for those people end up in the church, and it starts to become what's taught. They might even raise the leadership and start teaching that, and then it catches on where, because there's so many avenues you can go with. God loves me. That's what's important. God loves me just like I am. That's what's important. God serves me. God blesses me. He makes everything for me and brings it and gives it to me. And I think that generationally, and watching the people we minister to, it is so absolutely common for them to come in and have that mindset of this is all about God loving me. And then in their relationships with these women and men, it's all about you loving me. Mm-hmm. And there's very little talk about the responsibility to return love.
Which is an equal sign to what our responsibility to God, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And it just how you see these generations of kids who weren't loved by their parents. And they become adults who then demand love because they starved for it. And then they demand it, but they don't demand it of themselves. And what's funny to me is when they do come to me, so I have to love my wife. I have to love my kids. They're so aberrated on what love is. They don't even, what they're calling loving their kids is the craziest self-destructive things you've ever seen. When all their kids wanted was for them to be good and love them. They end up in the most bizarro situations, and it's generation after generation after generation. Vicky and I have been doing this so long. We've seen quite a few babies grow up to be parents, and you just see this transfer of this value of it only matters that I'm loved. And I have to tell you, God's love, if you treat God like that, his love won't work for you.
Good. Amen.
His love is not enough.
Wow.
His will won't save you. It is his will that you be saved. He wants you saved. He wants you loved, but it's not going to save your life, and it's not going to save your soul. It's only when you turn around and receive that love and say, this is what love is. Now, what do? I love, Jesus said, you obey my commandment. What was his only commandment? The only place you find Jesus talking about my commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. See, it's exactly what I'm saying. You do have to receive God's love, and you have to know he loves you. And we all want that. They want it. I want it. But it can't be what you survive on. You turn to transfer that love to others and love them as you have been loved.
That's good.
And pretty soon you have an extremely healthy group of people. And I'm asked all the time, how do these people all have such, they all have this, they say the same things, do the same things. And it's like, yeah, but you're trying to make it that I have this regime, this rule book. But no, I say read Jesus, listen Amen. To Jesus. And we all read it and come out looking the same. Mm-hmm. We all come out looking the same.
Because he wants you to imitate him.
And we return the Father's love for us, which is Jesus. Yeah. We return Jesus's love, which is sacrifice, which is the power given us holiness when only he given us his holiness, really.
Which we don't need to say.
And so we turn around and we say, I love you. What can I do in your kingdom? What can I do to make you famous? What can I do to tell the world of your wondrous love for me? and what can I do to share with them the value of selflessness, turn my life around, lay it down for you, give it up for you. And if I don't have to do that, then live it for you.
Yeah.
Every moment, never letting go, never turning back. And his love will be enough because you've received it and returned it and given it away.
Because love looks like something.
Because love should look like something. And it should be apparent that you love your neighbor. And it should be apparent that you love Jesus. And it should be apparent that you receive the love of God in your life. And you understand the benefits that Jesus purchased for you on his cross and his resurrection.
Yeah. Great.
That love should change us.
Love should change. Love should change me. And then my love for the kids changed them. And it should be, you know, hopefully my love for the people around me changes them. So, love looks like something. Yeah.
And if our kids receive and do it, they'll return love to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because then, not for us.
For them.
They'll receive love. They'll return love to us, which will make them healthy. And if they don't, it'll make them unhealthy.
Right.
And, you know, our kids, your kids, whoever has kids, you love them properly. That's wonderful. But what's going to make their life good? If they return that love.
That's good.
Same with God.
Yeah.
My desire for my kids to be happy and healthy and drug-free and good.
Loving Jesus.
It's not going to make them that.
Yeah.
They're going to have to. But if they return to love me, they'll be all of those things because they love me.
Good.
Same with God. It's even greater with God.
Amen.
Well, Steve, to bring us to a close, if you would read these last two paragraphs of on page 73,
starting with his will.
Yep.
His will is that we receive wisdom and words of encouragement straight from his heart. His will is that we hear his voice, feel his presence, and enjoy the peace that comes from resting in the knowledge of his love for us. It is his will that we know his plan and enjoy the privilege of being his sons and daughters. It is his will that we are used in his work of winning the world over to his love and peace. He wants us to do the things we see him do and greater things than we see in him. Yes, it is his will that we have his name and use our privilege as people of his household to bless others, bless ourselves and those around us. Giving more than we can afford and trusting him for everything tomorrow can throw at us. These things and so much more are definitely his will, and yet they won't necessarily happen unless we accept his plan and get busy allowing him to conform us into his likeness. He wants to make us vicars or replacements for Christ on the earth. He wants to make us Christians, little Christ.
Amen. Good.
Well, thank you so much for listening to us.
We'll be back
next time with chapter 14. And just wanted to take a moment as well. We talked about Life Growing Ministry. I just felt like Lord said just to say, if you are in need of a recovery program yourself, or you have friends or children or anybody who needs help in recovery, then you can visit liferecoveryministry.com and learn about that program and get in touch with us and apply for that too. So
that's exactly right.
Please take a look at that, and we'll be back next time.
Have a great week.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Uncommon Truth podcast today. I hope this episode encouraged you, inspired you, maybe even challenged you to keep seeking after everything Jesus has for you and the life he calls you to live. If you haven't already, please take a moment and subscribe to the Uncommon Truth podcast. That way you'll get every episode each week when it's released. It would really help us if you could rate and review and even share this podcast with anyone that you think would be encouraged by it. Help us spread the message to more people so that we can all live out this Christianity the way Jesus intended it to be. If you would like to get in touch with us, have any questions about the podcast, the topics, or even like us to pray for you, you can do so by emailing us at uncommontruthpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next time.